Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast. This is the conclusion to episode 227. This is part two to why. Today is Sunday, New Year's Day, January 1st, 2012. Happy New Year. Welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast. I am your hostess with the mostest, Janine Arnopoulos. I'm coming to you from the studios of North Minneapolis, Pastor Paul's podcast. Actually, that's a microphone, computer, and some software. As we approach January 2012, I wanted to do something a little special for our January intro. So today I have with me here Pastor Paul. And I have some questions for you, Pastor Paul. Let me get my questions out here. Okay. Are you ready, Pastor Paul?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Okay. There's been a rumor for about a year now that you are dead. Is that rumor true? Are you dead?
Actually, there's been, I've been dead three times this year, and I have to live that down, so to speak. But no, I'm alive, well, and kicking, enjoying life to the fullest, and doing what I'm supposed to do down here on the north side.
Okay, so in other words, I am talking to a real person. You are alive, and you are here today. Okay, so we got that out of the way. My second question, in connection with that rumor, when people come here to Pastor Paul's and they see all the hard work that you do, I hear them say something like, Pastor Paul, you're going to work yourself to death. Do you think there's possibly a connection between the rumor of your death and the hard work that you do here?
Not really. What I think is I don't have time for dying or time for getting old. I'm 80 years old, and I've never had the time to get feel that old. Keep yourself busy, folks, and during this time of real trouble in our country, keep yourself occupied. When you get up in the morning, clean the house and get yourself going and start making plans for the day.
Today's message is called Why. And I want to ask you, why do you do the hard work that you do?
Oh, I love to work in the first place. I've always had my hand in a lot of things. But basically right now is not the time to lay down the plow, but to plow full speed ahead and to make this thing work. People out there in the country are in dire straits. We need prayer and fasting for them. I hope that you will pray and fast for me. And look on the bright side of things. Look on the bright side. Don't look at the dark side. Don't worry about what's going to happen tomorrow. Start working on today and start praying and fasting and believing God for a miracle. That's what I'm believing for right now, with hardly any funding coming in here, people cutting out and running. I'm getting more food than I ever had in all of the time I've been down here. So God is really blessing us here on the north side. And that's how I feel about it.
Okay, Pastor Paul, my final question. We're entering a new year, 2012. What message do you have for your podcast listeners for the coming year?
Keep looking up. Keep helping one another. If you can help someone, do it, and God will bless you back. It's a time for sharing right now and caring for one another and make an example to people that we do care and we do love. This is a great country, and we're on the throes of making it even greater. That's my word.
Thank you, Pastor Paul. The messages for January are: why, serve, the burden, rock plows. Have a great new year. God bless you.
You ever have somebody do something evil to you? They meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. See, God controls everything. Everything. Verse 24 says, by his wounds you were healed. And verse 21 says, he suffered, leaving us an example to follow. And so then by our wounds, others may be healed. And you go by somebody and they're sitting there with a little, you know, inward grown toenail spiritual problem. You know, ouch, ooh. You go by and you have this large wound in your side. And they see that and they forget, oh man, this, how's your foot? Oh, nothing's wrong with my foot. I mean, if they think they got problems, preachers, if you think you got problems, come on down. Come on down to River City. We got troubles right down here in River City. Come on down here. Hey, you'll be glad to get back to your little church out there in the subs, where all is well. Huh? Come on now. I'm saying it'll heal you. They were mean to me. Were they mean to you out there? The congregation, were they mean to you? My goodness. Hey, they're sinners, you know, saved by grace. They're folks. And if you come down and put in a couple of months in mission ministries, you'll say, you know what, I got healed. I'll never complain again. You ever been someplace and you say, I'll never complain again? Go on over to Ethiopia. Come on down here to the north side and go into one of these cockroach havens for cockroaches. Some of these apartment buildings that they rent out down here, these deplorable apartment buildings. And it'll look real good to you, your little home. You never complain again. Never. So it's good, isn't it? I am so thankful when things are going well. You know why I'm thankful when they're going well? Because most times they don't go that way. Makes me real thankful when they're going good. How's it going? Really good today. And I just sort of tiptoe around. It's kind of like you don't want the baby to wake up. Then they wake up anyway. Wah! How many can relate with that? Tiptoeing around, you don't want the baby to wake up. Oh, good, the baby's sleeping. I'll turn on as the world flip-flops. Mama, mama, mama. It's kind of like with me when things are going well. And it does seem like they don't last too long, let me tell you. I've learned not to ask why. I say, God, how do I get out of this mess? Another mess you've got me into. And God is always going to use preachers and people that don't ask why. They say, how are we going to get this thing done, Lord? And so by what we suffered comes a ministry of compassion, understanding. It's kind of like in Africa, they have this little berry they place in their mouth and it makes everything they eat taste sweet. That's like we have the power to change every calamity into an opportunity. That power to use everything is the berry that sweetens the most bitterest calamity. I thought to myself, how about getting some music out of life's remainders? You out there, and I get cards and letters, and I know people are having hard times all over, and others say, well, what remains for me? Reminds me of my dad. He'd have all of these leftover things from the whole of the week. Well, Monday we have roast beef, and we have roast pork, and then we have a beef stew. And then we have the corn and the beef and the cabbage, and then we have this and that. At the end of the week, let me tell you, we always had meatloaf. The remainders. He would put together the most beautiful tasting meatloaf out of all of what remained. Put it in the oven, and it would smell so good, they say, wow, whatever that is, I want some of it. And all it was remainders of the week. You out there that just have the remainders of your life. God, what remains for me? Everything I've had is gone. Pick up all that and make a meatloaf out of it. Use it. Use those remainders to feed other people. Take all those things that remain. And the longer that you live, today is my birthday. Keep your gifts under $50. So I have 54 years of things that are left over. What am I going to do with them? I think I'll be like my dad and make a meatloaf out of it. What are you having? Well, it's Friday. We have meatloaf. I used to tease, and he never knew I was teasing my dad. And I would stand there with a straight face. What are we going to have today? Well, we have a meatloaf. Ask him that for years. I knew what he was going to have. But he would love to tell me. We have a roast beef, a roast pork, and we have this, and they go on with everything. And then at the end of the week, we have a meatloaf. And see, you preachers out there take what remains for me. This person's mad, that person's mad. Daddy Warbucks left. I mean, you know, what are we going to do now? Well, pick up the remains, make meatloaf out of it. Gather up these remainders and make music out of them. I knew a young lady, this is some time back, just about ready to be married. And all this couple, they were so in love, I mean, you know, made you jealous to watch them.
I mean, it was just so genuine and so sweet. And they were so happy, and they had the wedding date set, and all. She was just a beautiful girl, and he was just a nice-looking, and they were both beautiful people, and both loved the Lord. And they had a car accident. A milk truck pulled out in front of them, and they were going about 55, 60 miles an hour. And she lost her husband-to-be, and then her face was totally just pulled right off. And she was breathing out of a tube in the side of her neck, and she went to work that way, and her face was just, was terrible. And you know what she was telling other people? Now I really know my Jesus. I did the funeral. 10 people got saved right over the top of a casket. Yeah. And we as Christians, when we reach the end of our rope, should tie a knot in the end of it and hang on. In Revelations, it speaks of silence in heaven. Well, when that happens, I believe God is shifting scenes for the next act. Oh, guys, it's real quiet now. Now what's, there's going to be another act coming up. Seems like I'm right now I'm just saying this, and you know how they use the Cagneys and the Bogarts and all that, and they use them and they have them in all these movies, and you know what I mean? Well, that seems like at that particular time, because you're willing and you're in this thing and you're in walking in the light and God is using you in that particular thing, He'll use you in that same thing. It's sort of like the Perils of Pauline sequels. So when it's real quiet, I know God's moving scenery around and getting ready for Act 4019. And I'm just waiting for him. Take four! Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da
up. Scene one, act one.
You don't ask why.
Say, how do I live in this part? Give me the script. Help me to fall. Coach me from the sidelines. Show me how to do this thing. Bible says a cloud of witnesses are watching for the how of God. Wondering, how is the Lord going to work all of our whys? And so those silent, suffering spaces in your life may be God getting ready for the next act. The book of Acts was never finished. There's no end to it. Still going on. Still acting up. Christians are still supposed to be acting up in the book of Acts. Hold on to the knot in your rope. Don't give up hope, you preachers that are listening. You know what? Because the next act will come. His will be done on earth as it is in heaven. But for right now, grab a hold of the dull, boring, routine moments and make them sing. Write a list of normally boring things you do every day, you housewives. Dishes. Laundry. Vacuuming. Grocery shopping. Going to school. Changing diapers. Wiping up oatmeal. PTA. Going to work. Listening to your mate. Visiting your mother-in-law. riding the bus. But now let your changed attitude put this to music. Now, you could be real bored down here working this mission. But you can also put it to music. I might go in the clothing room in there, and there's a bunch of women in there. And I'll say, well, girls, how's shopping today? Well, they'll all look up, you know, and, oh, it's great, great. And all of a sudden, you've charged the atmosphere. And I said, you know, the other day, there were two gals in here. One had one leg of a pants, and another one had another leg of a pants, and they tore it in half. And I said, you only got one leg. I said, I don't care. It's kind of like when these girls go to these sales. And they get everything all messed up. See, a sale isn't a sale until you can mess everything up and have it in the floor. But better than that, everything here is free, so you can really make a mess. And so when I go down there and there's a big mess, I say, boy, the girls sure had a good time today. Look at the mess they made. And you can make music out of it. Or you can say, look what these people did. Ooh, let's close up the store. And so every day we give them a bag and we say, well, now only one bag. No, you don't say it that way. You say, now listen, I'm going to give you one bag a day. That's 360 some bags of clothing every year. Think of it. And I said, now if you can get this building into that bag, you can walk out of here with it. And it just sort of makes music. Oh, okay. So that you ought to see some of them. They stand on that bag, they crunch that bag down, but they can only get so much in a bag. So you can put it to music, don't you see? You can do your dishes and you can put it to music. You sing while you're doing your dishes. This is the way I do my dishes. Do my dishes, do my dishes, huh? And you know, you create an atmosphere for your children. This is the way mommy do her dishes, do her dishes, do her dishes. And it changes their whole day and their whole outlook. Oh, I'm so sick of these dishes! Or pretend they're not there until the whole house is full of dishes. You have to go out and buy paper plates. Or laundry. Now, I do my own laundry. You know what I enjoy about doing laundry? Separating the piles. Okay. Take all that out of there, and I'll make a great big... Oh, you take all this and you put it over there. Now, there's fun in it. All the socks over here. You put all the whites over here. And you put all of the, you know, the dark colors over here and so on like that. And then I get them all, and I say, oh, well, that's going to cost quite a bit. And so I just get them all together and throw them in the same machine. But I still separate them every time. Then I have a good laugh over it. See, it's all how you look at things. Don't take yourself so seriously. Nobody else does. That's like grocery shopping. Well, there's some people there so many, and I do my own grocery shopping. They're so miserable doing grocery shopping. Get out of the way. Huh? You know, roll up somebody's heels. Talk about getting a witness all the way up your back. And I like to go in there. And I like to, you know, go through the vegetable thing there. And I enjoy doing that, and I enjoy studying the people. And I enjoy watching, and most of them don't put it to music at all. Like, for me now, I'll go where there's one person in the line. And you know when I get in there what they're doing? They'll pull out a whole purse. Now, it's really not a purse. It's a purse for their coupons. And they pull all of these coupons out. Now, I could get real angry over that, but I don't. I just like to study these people and watch them and watch the ones in back. Man, they're ready to throw a loaf of bread at somebody. So you have to bring another spirit in there. And you have to say something, and you have to put it to music. I was talking to some people in back of me, and it was almost like they were mad because I was the next one up in turn for me to go through, and I only had some salad dressing I was going through, some oil. Because they were having such a good time. Best time they ever had in a grocery line. Vacuuming. Do you have fun vacuuming? We're going to PTA? Or going to work? Or going to church? Some of the most miserable times I've seen people have is on their way to church. They fight like bay steers all the way to church. They come in and they are so mean it takes the preacher a half hour of steady deliverance to get them so they can even hear one word. I remember going to school when I was, just like 7, 8, 9, 10 years old and like that. And I was the type of person, my dad was always pretty happy, and so he gave me the right spirit and kind of put things, everything to music. He did. He just had a way about him where, you know, you'd be around him and you just, his presence brought everything to music. So then I would leave there and I would kiss my dad and he would kiss me and then I would skip to school. Every place I went, I ran or I skipped. I never ever in my life walked. I always ran wherever I was going to go. So, okay, see you, Dad. But I had this music in my heart. My dad had been through a lot of things. You know what I mean? But he still had this music in his heart, and he had the atmosphere around him of music. And so all the way to school, I would be skipping to school, and everywhere I'd go, I would skip up to the store, and skip there, and, you know, give me one of these and one of those. And for a penny, man, you could buy yourself one of them little white things full of candy. Hard candy, give me a bubble gum, and give me one of those, and give me one of these. You know, for a dime, you could just about buy out a bag of candy. And I learned through those hard times, we didn't have a lot. But during those times, my folks made everything seem alive, and there was music in it. How did they learn that? Through suffering. See, I believe that latent possibilities are all there in life. Bring out of it then what you will. The same hammer that will shatter glass also forges steel. I mean to say, the calamities that shatter some will forge you into character and into achievement. That sometimes when we're real heavy times down here, I'll say, okay, now we're in a heavy time. Let's go for it. Let's double up. Let's go twice as hard. So that berry in the mouth I was talking about that the Africans use, that sweetens everything, I believe is a spirit of courage and of faith. Oh, there's some people with such heavy disabilities, running all kinds of businesses, doing things, painting with their mouth or typing with their feet. Jesus said, nothing outside of a man can defile him. It is what comes from within that defiles him. Mark 7 and 15. Your reaction to what happens to you determines then the result. Don't react to problems. Move right on through them. Move right on through them. That's like me wading through the bills. Move right on through them. Because I believe this and I know it to be true. We can make music out of misery. Song out of sorrow. Achievement out of an accident. I believe that if we have that kind of spirit, we can't be beaten. I believe if we have that kind of spirit, we will turn everything, good, bad, or indifferent, into something else. Hey, you can. No matter what happens to me, we can turn it into the best. I can't do it alone, but with you, Lord. I can do anything. I can bear anything, go through anything. Without you, Lord, I fade. But you, Lord, are with me and I have joy. Do you ever have that joy? I get it. I'll be laying in bed all by myself and all of a sudden I'll get the laughs. Do you ever get the laughs? Well, they say, well, you're crazy. Well, I don't care. I mean, I get the laughs. Did anybody ever get the laughs and you're all by yourself? Does anybody do that? Am I nuts? Maybe I am. Do you guys get it? You guys on the radio. Do you guys get, do you get any laughs all by yourself? I used to laugh at my mother. She'd be laughing about something that happened 20 years ago. You know what I do? I'm laughing about something that happened 20 years ago. I mean, you have to go back that far to find something to be happy about? Oh, shut up. What's the difference? I believe it is our duty to find joy. Some people think it's their duty to find sorrow, something to be mad about. No, I believe it is our duty to find joy in everything. It's there. No matter what happens to you. Everything the Bible says is under my feet. It's like making all things work together for good. That right attitude of mind defeats and conquers all your problems. See, you could have no visible problems, no visible things wrong, and have all kinds of money and everything that you possibly would ever want. But if you have the wrong attitude of mind, you're defeated. You're just as defeated as the person that has all kinds of problems and sits in these problems and is defeated. You're as defeated as they are. I, some time back, had a message. It was called Jehovah Eagle, and I'll close this message. But it was Jehovah Eagle, and it was the eagle that would fly above the problems and catch his wings during the storm, would set his wings during a very stormy time, would set his wings in sort of an upward tilt and catch the wind and ride out the storm. They go way up, like a couple miles, up, way up. Because his wings would have the right slant on things. I think we can have the right slant on things. We can have the love slant on things. The right slant, or should I say tilt, of the wings decides victory or defeat. I believe then that I'm talking about our soul wings are set up so when frustration, when, let's say, disaster strikes, up we go. Up we go. But then some have their wings slanted downward, so they crash right into a dunghill. That's like death comes to one home and it brings bitterness and frustration and confusion, and yet in another, it will bring calm and quiet victory and greater usefulness. Do you really believe Romans 8 and 28? And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God and are called according to His purpose. His purpose? That are called according to His purpose. His purpose. Now, everybody knows in the hyper-faith crowd, and there's so much, that is just, and you know, I'm just getting so sick of that. The hyper-faith crowd, you know what I'm talking about, hyper-faith? They talk about it, and they read pamphlets about it, and they read books about it, and they got catalogs about it, but they never do anything. Never. They have the wrong slant on it. See, you know why the gospel is boring to people? Because they don't live it. If you don't live the gospel, it's boring. And if you actually live the gospel, the free grace message of the Lord Jesus Christ, it is the most exciting life. If you really live it. And so we have victorious vitality mastering then our circumstances. A victorious vitality then is a vitality that's capable of mastering everything because it can use everything. It can grab a hold of the raw materials of human living. And I'm talking reality now. I'm talking about grab a hold of pain and grab a hold of pleasure and grab a hold of justice and injustice and compliments and criticisms and take them into the purposes of our own lives. And I believe then transmit them into character and usefulness. Use everything. And right now, while we sit here, someone is committing suicide. Right now. Giving up or locked in on a habit. Why? Because they never heard the suffering for joy message. Never. They thought that they just snapped their fingers and God was right there. Well, He is, but He's also checking out your faith during a time of trials. During the fire, during suffering, He's checking out our motives and our attitudes and our love, our unconditional so-called love. Let me close it with this. Jesus on the cross called out, "My God." Even when it grew dark, even when everything collapsed, "My God." He turned gloom into glory. I have to close with this. Let no sorrow, let no suffering, let no disappointment pluck those words from my mouth. God, help me by your grace. My God, when persecution comes, my God, when slander comes, my God, when we're hated in the house of our friends, my God, when death comes, my God, when hurts come, my God, when we're successful, my God, when we're unsuccessful and broke, let us be like Jesus in cross situations and say, "My God." That's all any of us have is our God, which taking possession is my God. Oh, do you ever say that? Oh, my God. That's it. Take everything. Take every disappointment. Ask yourself questions. Go ahead. Be like David. Ask all these questions. And you'll come to the same resolve. My God. You can use everything. The good, the bad, and the indifferent. And it will give you an opportunity to know what you're talking about. How boring it would be to just be where, you know, where I couldn't be used to God. Wouldn't that be boring, Jim?
Wouldn't it, I mean, to not be used? I mean, we have our times when we say, oh, gee, I don't know about this, huh? But then just think of being in a situation where you weren't used. Wouldn't that be total nothing? No, I want to be on a cross situation where I have to call out, how, God? And not say, why me, Lord? But how, God? How are we going to do this thing? Do you think God is able to take us through? Well, I know He is. And you got to have that attitude. And though that He slay me, yet will I trust Him. You got to get into that too. There's some suffering involved, but it always involves joy. It's always at the other end of suffering. It always brings joy. It does. I had suffered some time back with a guy that I'd known for several years and brought him through a lot of deliverances and so on like that. And he as much as told me 6 months ago, I don't want nothing to do with you, blah, blah, blah. He went on, you know. Guess who was in here today? I don't want to have nothing to do with you was in here today. It was great. Because I was just able to receive without any kind of bit. I didn't even think about it. I just thought, oh, hi, how are you? And I even surprised myself. That was even a trial, wasn't it? How are you going to react to this person? Oh, you don't want nothing to do with me. Now you want something to do with me, huh? Sure, sure, now you do. You stinker, get out. No, wasn't there. It just wasn't there. I was so delighted with myself, I got puffed up a little bit. I know from experience to de-puff quickly. Before the bombs fall. How many are hearing this? Did you hear it? God, did you people on the radio hear it in between snapping Frito-Lay potato chips and sucking on Pepsis? Did you? How, God? That's the message. Is anybody in here that isn't born again? Anyone in the balcony? Maybe there's some hiding under the seats. That would be nice. What do you think about it? Oh. What's going on in your minds? No, don't tell me. I'll tell you what's going on in my mind. I'm glad I'm saved and filled with the Holy Ghost. I'm glad that I've had all of these 54 years of living. And I just pray that God gives me grace to live the next 54 years. Without too many hitches. You hearing this? Hey, why not have joy? There's enough sorrow around, huh? I don't want none of it. Well, hey, claiming crowd, that's one thing I won't claim. Know why I won't claim it? Because I don't have that. I by nature, have joy. By the nature of Christ, it says, the joy of the Lord is your strength. You want to get weak? Lose your joy. Ever seen somebody loses their joy? Okay. Somebody that isn't happy and where they're at? Huh? God, they ask, why me, Lord? Okay, a quick comment. Maybe.
There you have it. That was the conclusion to episode 227. That was part two to why. If you missed part one, just go to www.pastorpaul.blogspot.com. There you're going to find all of Pastor Paul's podcasts. You're also going to find the show notes, and within those show notes are scripture links, so be sure to check those out. Join us every Friday for part one and every Sunday for the conclusion. Next Friday, be sure to join us for Serve. Have a great new year and God bless you.